Live from the Carter Subaru Studio, this is the Jason Rand Show. If you want to join the conversation, go online at MyNorthwest.com. Click on the Linwood Honda inbox, search for the name Jason Rand. In about 10 to 15 minutes, Councilman Nick Licata will join us. He wrote a letter to Congress decrying Israel, and it promises to be a very interesting conversation. I also want to give a little bit of an update on something we've been doing this week. As you know, as you heard, I decided to take the Ice Bucket Challenge in order to raise awareness for ALS. It's this viral campaign that's gone around that basically has people pouring buckets of ice water on top of them, usually having someone else pour a bucket of ice water. Sean was able to do that to me, the highlight of his career. And we videotaped it. It's online at MyNorthwest.com/JasonRants. And in it, you're able to call out other people and dare them to take that challenge. So I went after and I said, I'm going after Dory Monson. I'm going after John Curley. And I'm going after Stephen Fry. He is the goalkeeper for the Seattle Sounders FC. He's a friend of the show. I decided I was going to call him out. So yesterday we learned from Dory that he's in. I don't know if he's done it yet. And so you're going to have to get on him if he hasn't. You're going to have to call him out by going to the Linwood Honda inbox and sending him an email. John Curley, I don't know if he's going to do it, but I do know he's joining us later tonight at about 9:45. And I'm going to put the pressure on him to go through with it. Now, Stephen Fry, I didn't know if he would do it because, you know, he's a big-time celebrity. He's someone who is an athlete. He owes nothing to me. And I just sort of decided to call him out. So did he do it?
Accepting our ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, I nominate Eric Gehrig and Matt Gash.
I nominate Jackie Montgomery and Mr. Schmetzer.
So not only did Stephen Fry do it, which was the second voice you heard, but also Chad Marshall, also on the Seattle Sounders FC. I didn't ask him specifically to do it, so I'm assuming someone else did, or the power of me challenging one Sounder got transferred over to someone else. Now, Stefan sent me a note on Twitter. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but that was the third take, because apparently the first time, I don't think the people who were pouring water understood what the whole point was, so they had to do it again. The second time, I guess there was only one person who poured the water between them both. And
missed them?
Well, I think they didn't realize you're supposed to hit them over the head. I don't know. And so the third time they did it. So we posted a video of it at MyNorthwest.com/JasonRants. And of course, on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/JasonRants. So big props to both Stefan and Chad, but also Brad Evans and all the other Seattle Sounders FC players who've decided to take this challenge. So there's a story that for some reason is being treated as brand new, but it's not brand new because we reported on it. Josh Kearns over at MyNorthwest.com reported on this about a month ago or so, maybe even a little bit longer, but the AP apparently found this story and they are treating it as new. The AP reports that police here in Washington are asking the public to stop tweeting during shootings and manhunts to avoid accidentally telling the bad guys what officers are doing. The Tweet Smart program began in late July by a coalition of 9 agencies, including Washington State Patrol, including the Seattle PD, and it aims to raise awareness about social media's potential impact on law enforcement. Now, some have called this effort a step that could potentially lead to censorship. Others said it's silly, it's stupid, it's going to be meaningless. Police, actually, they're saying it's just a reminder at a time when cell phones and social networks can make lightning quick spread of information go a little bit too fast without understanding the repercussions. They're just saying, hey, just pay. This is more of a reminder. Now, SPD spokesman Sean Whitcomb joined our sister station, AM770 KTTH and The Ben Shapiro Show, to discuss the new program.
It's called Tweet Smart, so we want people to be careful with the information that they're putting out in the most dangerous of situations. One thing I did want to jump in on is that we're not telling people not to tweet, not to communicate via social media. What we're telling people is just to be aware that if you put out information, there might be, you know, negative consequences.
Now, Whitcomb used the SPU shooting as a specific example. People were tweeting the movement of SWAT teams at the time.
These specific moments, it could be less than prudent to actually use social media to broadcast police movements. Use social media to let your family and friends know that you're okay. that you're in a position of safety. But maybe think twice before you use social media to say, you know, the SWAT team is going down the hall in this building, and now they're going to this doorway. So it's not about, you know, don't tweet. It's tweet smart.
So I can totally get behind the idea of tweeting smart, right? But you have to keep in mind, especially when you're talking about a situation like an active shooter as the one at SBU was, this can actually be used as a tool to keep other people safe. I mean, reading the tweet that a SWAT team member is breaking into your dorm hall or your you know, where you're living, if you're stuck in a dorm, well, that could be meaningful information to you, right? It means don't go running in the hallway because SWAT's there. That can keep you safe. Hearing that cops think the shooter is in a gym or in a specific hallway or something, if you tweet that out and someone else who is near there, yeah, the shooter may now know that the cops know where he or she is, but it also tells other people in the vicinity to hide or stay low or stay away. And it's especially important, especially when we're talking about college campuses. We're on Twitter. They're on Twitter all the time. And the question then becomes, well, how often do these criminals actually use Twitter or social media in the midst of their crime? And does that even matter? Because the real reason behind this is, well, are officers' lives in danger as a result of some of the information that's being spread or revealed on Twitter? Now, according to the AP, a social media expert at the International Association of Chiefs of Police said she's unaware of any social media post that has led to the injury of a police officer. But she said that there have been a few close calls. Other times, tweets have interfered with investigations. In those cases, police tweet back and ask people to back off. Now, I see the side of the officers on this. Absolutely. 100%. I understand where they're coming from. We should be making their jobs safer, right? But this doesn't seem like there's much data to back up the necessity of it. There's a presumption, mostly, that this matters in some significant way. Their release, when they were talking about this program, pretty much says that. It says sooner or later we'll have an emergency where the suspect is watching social media. That could allow an offender to escape or possibly even cost an officer their life. Okay, they're saying this might happen in the future. Not that it's currently happened. And I think that's really important to understand because Monica Guzman over at GeekWire.com, she basically took some concern with this policy that basically said, look, we're talking about an organization that's a law enforcement organization basically telling people not to tweet. Now, other people can see that and feel a little intimidated because at the end of the day, we're talking about an agency that is an armed agency telling you don't tweet. Even if it is a recommendation, some people may take it as a different way. And so it's really important. So I'm saying I understand the concern. I think people should be responsible when tweeting anyway. But I do share the concern of some folks who are saying this may be sending a message that is not the one that we want to send. We're going to come back. Nick Licata is going to debate the actions of Israel in Gaza when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Councilmember Shama Sawant abandoned her effort to gain the support of her colleagues in a letter she wanted to send to the White House and to Congress, a letter that was critical of Israel. And you heard her on the show last week for an hour discussing the issue with me. She has decided to go at it alone. Also sending a letter to the Congress is City Councilmember Nick Licata. In it, he calls for an investigation into Israel's military response to Hamas in Gaza. And he joins us now to discuss. Councilmember, thank you. I appreciate you stopping by.
Oh, thank you very much for the invitation to join you on your show.
What was the impetus for this particular letter and this particular issue that you're taking up with the Congress?
Well, the particular issue was just as I was watching the conflict unfold over a period of days, I just was noting that there were many, many civilians being killed in Gaza, and certainly there were civilians killed in Israel, but the ratio might have been 1 to 100 or something of that sort. But also, you know, it also became evident to me as I was reading more that the U.S. is basically the main supplier, maybe the only supplier, I don't know, of military assistance to Israel, and I came across some really interesting numbers I hadn't been aware of.
Like, what numbers? You
know, well, the numbers I saw, and this is from a number of sources, Congress Watch and things of that sort, was about, we give about $3 billion a year to Israel, of which almost all of its military assistance, and other places said it comes out to about $400 per man, woman, and child in the U.S. that goes towards U.S. tax dollars going to basically fund the Israeli military. So I'm thinking to myself, we've got a stake in this game here. We ought to be able to, Congress should just start asking what's going on. Do we need to think about what our practices are?
When I was reading both your letter and Shama Sawant's letter, and I understand that they were separate, but they have the similar tone in that they want to bring attention specifically to Israel's conduct. The problem I had with Councilmember Sawant's letter is that it doesn't indicate that Hamas is a terrorist organization. It doesn't really even cast any sort of moral judgment on the behavior of Hamas. Now, your letter in particular says that the United States declared Hamas a terrorist organization, but it doesn't say whether or not you believe Hamas is a terrorist organization. So I guess that's my question for you. Do you think Hamas is a terrorist organization?
Well, quite honestly, if we define terrorism as killing civilians indiscriminately, I think it would be pretty difficult to avoid that description being added to any organization that engages in that activity.
So you think Hamas is as much a terrorist organization than Israel?
I'm not going to make a judgment call on identifying which countries or which groups are terrorists, because it seems to me part of that is political. Congress certainly, all 100 senators basically said that. And it's very, very clear that Hamas is engaged in activities that have put people's lives in danger. Unfortunately, and this is the reason why I think Congress should at least hold a briefing, we are seeing instances in this latest conflict, and thankfully it's in the truce now, where we had UN buildings being bombed by Israeli bombers, resulting in a lot of civilian casualties. Now, I understand the argument was that there were weapons hidden there, but I can't imagine UN would allow weapons being hidden in their buildings.
They've admitted, they've actually admitted, UNRWA, which is a separate agency that works within the United Nations, they actually do a lot of schools, they have a lot of schools housed in Gaza. They've admitted that they've had weapons there that were stored, and they actually admitted that they gave the weapons back to Hamas. So they've been on record saying, yes, these weapons were housed here.
So that would be good for Congress then to do a briefing to get that information out, because, there's so many different, as you know, facts out there and stories and rumors and things of that sort. To me, it seems like it would be a great advantage for the American public to be able to say, okay, is in fact the UN a terrorist organization supporting Hamas?
Do you think that? No one is saying that.
Well, I thought you said UN was allowing their schools to be used.
No, they admitted that their schools were used to house it, and once they found out, they gave it back to Hamas. And so the United States had condemned that. We give UNRWA, we just gave them a $15 million grant specifically to this organization that admits that they had weapons that were used, that were housed in their facilities.
During the conflict or beforehand?
During the conflict. This was in July. This was in the middle of the conflict.
Right. So, I think that would be good to bring that out and have, information from, because as you know, there's so much out there to read. You'd never really close the circle on this.
Sure, would you say that you're in a position where you are asking the United States government to look into Israel? Don't you have the responsibility to do additional research on your end just to make sure that you have a full understanding of the context of what's going on? I mean, honestly, I'm slightly shocked that you didn't know that specifically about UNRWA, because it was everywhere. The State Department spoke out against it.
Well, were you aware that 7 schools were attacked? And are you saying that all 7 schools had weapons in them?
Well, to characterize it as seven schools being attacked is not true. We do know that specifically Hamas was firing weapons from within schools, such as on July 23rd, they fired from within the UNRWA Girls' School and Refugee Center. We know that they fired right outside of the school in Rafah, which you reference in your in your piece. Now, in this letter, it says that Israel attacked the actual school, but that's not true.
No, I know. It was several yards outside the front gate where there were children gathered. And our own State Department, which I assume, you know, represents all of us to a certain degree, you know, the spokesman came out and basically said that it was an outrageous act and disgraceful shelling outside the UNRWA school in Rafah, sheltering at least, you know, killing at least 10 to Palestinian civilians, and there are 3,000 people in that school. You know, but I'm not going to debate the statistics back and forth because, you know, I'm sure you're an expert far more than I am.
But you're the one writing to the Congress.
There's a lot of information out there. I don't see the harm in bringing it together to allow for a public discussion in Congress. The reason that we'd be doing it on this particular topic is because we have U.S. tax dollars involved in it.
I'm talking with Seattle City Council member Nick Licata. He's sending a letter to Congress asking them to investigate Israel's military response to Hamas in Gaza. Council member, I want to ask you more about the focus of the letter in particular and how little it had to say about Hamas. We're going to get into that right after the news on the Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. I'm joined by Seattle City Council member Nick Licata, who's drafted a letter to Congress asking them to investigate Israel's military response to Hamas in Gaza. Council member, one of the problems I see with the letter is a lack of context. There doesn't seem to be anything in the letter besides the talking points of the people who are critical of Israel's actions. Do you think that this letter could have been more balanced?
Well, I think that perspective would come across when you have a congressional briefing. The rationale for the briefing is that U.S. tax dollars are at work basically funding a good portion of this conflict. As I pointed out, Hamas, as the U.S. has recognized, is a terrorist organization. We don't give them any money that I know of. We are not in control of what they do. We are trying to obviously influence them through Egypt or whatever. But we do presumably have some influence over Israel. They are our ally.
Yeah, no. I totally get that. I'm saying when I'm looking at this letter, and we're posting this letter on our Facebook page because everyone should read it and make up their own minds. This letter seems to paint Israel as the bad guy. It seems to demonize Israel by not talking about the context. So, for example, when you've read into different schools or different UN facilities either being directly hit or are in the area of a munition attack from Israel, why did Israel do that? You would admit they didn't just randomly target a specific UN entity, right?
I would hope not. But, you know, the other thing, too, and I mean, you know, again, you know far more than I do, but from what I've read, you know, Gaza is not a very big spot. I mean, it's like 50% bigger than Seattle and three times the population. Can't imagine that there's many places to go. From what I read, there's like over 250,000 people in refugee shelters, and apparently they're one of their power sources was hit, so close to half the population was without electricity. So I think pretty much people would agree that there's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza, and fortunately there isn't in Israel. That's not to say that it couldn't be if Hamas had bigger weapons. It could be that kind of way. But what I'm saying is, what's our role in all this? Our role being the U.S., what's our role?
Sure, and I think that our role is to help a country defend itself against a terrorist organization. Because, as you know, the reason why the civilian casualties are so high is that Hamas actively fires their weapons from schools, from hospitals, from areas of really dense population centers when they don't have to do that, but they choose to do that.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. And
it's true.
And I have, but
it is, you know, absolutely true and not in dispute.
Ability to actually dig in and present a balanced view.
Say that last piece one more time.
Well, it's, you know, your statement is a statement. I don't have the time nor the inclination to do all the research on both sides, because every time I read something, there's always a counter. And there's always, you know, back and forth.
But yeah, but don't you have the responsibility to do that?
I trust Congress as representative to work with the UN, work with, you know, whoever the conflicting parties are, to bring some information to bear. But it's not to point who's guilty or who's not guilty. It's to ask, this is U.S. tax dollars at work. Is this the best way we want to spend
them? Sure, but with respect, this letter reads as a condemnation of Israel when you admit yourself you haven't done all of the research into it. And it seems like
anybody has.
No, lots of people have. With respect, lots of people have, including people who hold your position. So it's not even to say that this isn't something that can be reasonably discussed, because I think Shama Sawant has looked into this a little bit, and she shares very similar views than you do, as much as I disagree with them. I think it's okay to say, hey, you know, we kind of disagree on it.
Yeah.
But you're admitting that you have not looked into the other side. And
I haven't said that.
I haven't looked
into the other side. I have. And I have very good friends on that side who agree with me. And there are some who disagree.
Okay,
there are some who believe that even criticizing the state of Israel is anti-Semitic. And I get I've gotten a number of emails to that effect as well. I don't know. Maybe that's your opinion as well.
That anyone who criticizes Israel is an anti-Semite?
Yeah.
That's not my opinion. I think people who who demonize Israel without giving any context make anti-Semitic statements, but doesn't make them an anti-Semite. Does that make sense? So it's like someone telling a racist joke. Well, you'd say, okay, that joke is racist. It doesn't necessarily mean the person is racist. I tend not to try to make those judgments unless it's really, really clear and I have a high bar before I actually call someone anti-Semite, the same way I have a high bar before I call someone anti, you know, whatever. I think that based on your research that you now say you have done, where are Hamas firing their weapons?
I'm sorry, what you want me to tell you where they're firing their weapons from?
Yeah, where are they firing based in
that? That is what I want Congress to look into. But what I want Congress to look into is, where are we going down the road with this? And I think that's an important question to ask. I think we need to ask ourselves, what's the future of the U.S. in the Middle East? Is it a continuation of the present, or is there something that we can do to basically, if not resolve, at least diminish the amount of potential damage and killing to all the civilians in the Middle East?
And I think everyone wants that, and I share that with you. I don't want to see any civilians die, but I guess my question for you would be, if Hamas wasn't there, right, let's say we live in a world where Hamas was not in power, this terrorist organization was completely defeated. Let's say it ended today, right? Tomorrow, with all of Hamas out, do you think Israel would continue to bomb portions of the Gaza Strip?
I don't believe they would. But, you know, even if Hamas is gone, I have a feeling there would probably be other groups out there who would probably attack Israel. I mean, it seems that way.
Yeah,
before Hamas existed, that happened.
So I guess the question is whether or not you think Israel has the right to defend itself. And I assume you would agree with that.
Well, every country has a right to defend itself. I ask myself, if just putting aside, if we can, Israel is an independent country. We don't control Israel. We should control Israel. They elect their own leaders. We don't elect our own leaders. We are their ally. We have 20 million people. They have about 8 million people.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have allies, but at one point, does an ally become something other than an ally?
Okay, let's pause right there because I want to talk more about the relationship between Israel and the United States. I'm talking to Seattle City Council member Nick Licata. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're back in 4 minutes. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. I'm joined by Seattle City Council member Nick Licata, who's drafted a letter to Congress asking them to investigate Israel's military response to Hamas in Gaza. Councilmember, before the break, you said that it's good to have allies, but you aren't exactly sure what kind of ally Israel has become. what do you think Israel's become?
You know, what's the dependency of Israel on other countries? I don't know. But it seems to me that primarily on the U.S., the U.S. has the primary responsibility of all the other countries outside of Israel itself of basically providing it the military weapons that it has.
Sure. But you understand, like, the geopolitical strategy behind being an ally of Israel. Put aside the morality of wanting to side with the only true democracy in that particular region that also is an ally of some of our interests. Just strategically in the geopolitical world, you understand why we would be sort of allies with Israel.
Well, culturally, certainly. And as you point out, it is a democracy much more so than any of the other countries around it. But is that the reason that we're providing them $3 billion a year? One-sixth of all our foreign aid is going to one country?
Part of the reason we give money to Israel is because, as an ally of theirs, we also want to see that they're able to defend themselves again in a region that is basically surrounded by people who don't think they have the right to exist where they're currently existing. And that's something we would do for any individual ally if they needed that kind of help.
Well, I don't know of any other allies we do that for.
Well, because you're right. You're partially right, because I would say, do you think of any other ally of ours that is in a similar position than Israel? Like, if you were to go right now and you were to look at some of our European allies, for example, you don't have them surrounded by terrorist organizations that are on a daily basis shooting rockets into their airspace, into their civilian populations, with the sole purpose of killing civilians.
You know, this situation's been like this for decades, hasn't it?
It has, and shouldn't we do something to help stop that?
Well, that's the whole point of having a congressional briefing, to figure out how to do that.
Well, with respect, I think they've been talking about this for a very long time, and to be fair to you, I don't think that it's an easy answer. I think it's obviously very complex. I would just say, as someone who's reading this letter that you've sent off to John Boehner and Harry Reid, Councilmember Licata, as someone who you would say knows more about this than you, with respect, this reads like you're demonizing Israel, and it lacks any sort of context as to why Israel is doing what they're doing. And I think that's a shame. And on top of it, there's just some factual inaccuracies in this. I know you quote this former IDF chief, Gabi Ashkenazi, telling some conference, I guess, that U.S. taxpayers have contributed more to the defense budget than Israeli taxpayers. That's factually inaccurate. So USAID to Israel is about $3 billion, as you know. The Israeli defense budget is $15 billion. 70% of it is contributed by Israeli taxpayers.
I've seen those articles. I've also seen, the back and forth. And, you know, and just have to say there's not another sort of angle to it, but the other element, it's really funny, I read the article that criticized that statement, and the counter to that was whether it's $29 billion in loans to Israel that's been mm-hmm. waived, and that, you know, a good part of the weapons that go to the Israel don't even necessarily go to the budget. In fact, just in today's Wall Street Journal pointed out that, unbeknownst to our own president, the Pentagon was giving weapons to Israel outside of this arrangement. Mm-hmm. So who knows how much basically U.S. military support is going to Israel, except perhaps the people who are in charge of the Israeli military, such as the person who testified.
But if you don't know, why would you put it in writing and send it off to Congress?
Because in fact, there was counter evidence that showed that he was in fact the person that would know best.
But he would not know best. You're basing that on a three-sentence long article.
Because it seems like he, in fact, is more aware of the various streams of military support going to Israel that are not included in that $3 billion amount.
Other than the Jerusalem
and
Post.
That's something that Congress could, in fact, uncover. Because there's streams of information that we both disagree about, but yet still there are legitimate publications that point out these facts.
What are the legitimate publications?
Do you fear having a congressional briefing on this issue?
Do I fear that?
Yeah.
No, I think that Congress can look into whatever they want. I think really what this is...
Are you willing to have this kind of briefing?
Not based on your letter. Absolutely not. I think this letter is based on anti-Israel rhetoric.
No, but you could write your own letter.
Well, how about this? Why don't you and I jointly write a letter and let's – because I think something really interesting is at work here. So UNRWA is a organization we give $15 million in grant money to. They've admitted that they've had storage – missiles stored within their organization, within one of their UNRWA schools. Would you join me in a letter that we write to Congress asking them to investigate why that happened, how that happened?
Be welcome to bring in a third party, maybe CARE, one of the groups that...
No, how about you and I, because I don't want to speak on behalf of any organization. I can speak on behalf of myself, as, and you can of you. Would you join me in writing a letter under the exact same concerns you had about the United States giving money to any entity, regardless of where they're at and what side they're on, that we are giving $15 million grant money to UNRWA?
I join you, Jason, as long as we have someone else also write it, because I don't want it to be one-sided or biased, as you pointed out.
But your letter is already one-sided and biased. As
no,
you,
it was my opinion. And well, my opinion,
yeah, and that's a bias.
Information that's available to both you and me that we also disagree about, even though that information's out there. It's available to
you. Yeah, but UNRWA, I mean, you would – UNRWA has no reason to say, yes, we had these weapons stored within our facilities.
You,
they would never lie about that.
The $15 million given to UNRWA justifies killing 1,500 Palestinians?
I didn't kill 1,500 Palestinians. And the number that of civilians, because you're really talking about civilians, the number of civilian deaths in Gaza is unknown right now.
Well, maybe we should find out.
Totally agree.
The numbers I've seen vary from 1,200, to 1,900.
Yes, so, and of those numbers, how many of them are militants from Hamas?
Well, Jason, I really appreciate the invitation to be in your program. I do have to get to work. I hope that you have other people on your program who obviously have various opinions. I think it makes our democracy stronger to have people talk about this, whether it's passionately or not, to basically ask ourselves, how can we make our democracy stronger and democracies around the world as well? So thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Councilmember Nick Licata, I appreciate it. And again, we've posted this letter on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show. Councilmember, thank you for giving me some of your time today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show.